Thunder! Thunder! Thunder!
Hey, how are you? I'm Larry Kenny, the voice of Lion-O, here today for my good friends Ryan and David. You may know if you listen to the podcast Radical Retro Rewind.
I love it.
All of it.
Radical Retro Rewind.
She even looks older.
You like my art collection?
Yeah, we've heard that one before, mummy.
What is it? I heard him shout.
Oh, yeah. Thundercats! Ho!
Who you calling a hoe?
Welcome back, bunglers, to another episode of Thundercats Reviews, brought to you by the Radical Retro Rewind Podcast. As always, I am your host, Radical Ryan Hunter, here with everyone's favorite brother, David. And we have two more kitty cat episodes for everybody. Hello, David.
Well, hello. It's lovely to be here.
We are still in February.
The month of love.
Matter of fact, the last episode aired on Valentine's Day, and that had our mumra, inspired by David, mentioning that the episode should be retitled Hold Me Closer, Tiny Mumra. It worked perfectly, I think, David, for Valentine's Day.
Well, I just want to say this next episode, called The Formula, really heats up Valentine's Day. There is a moment that, honestly, even Donna Summers would be... I love to love you, baby. Oh, would be rivaled by Luna.
Lynn Lipton. My God. What did they tell? What was the direction they gave?
I don't know, but I'll have what she's having.
So before we get into that, we just want to say a special shout out to one of our bunglers, Daniel, who gives us such love. I mean, all of our bunglers are, my God, amazing. And as always, lovely Leah supplies us with the audio, which we will be using today. But Daniel has just been so wonderful to us over these last few months. He's another crossover. He goes from Thundercats to Radical, Dark Shadows episodes. And we just found out that Daniel actually has, he was being modest, he didn't tell us, that he actually has a podcast of his own, David. We found out it was called The Geeks with the Beards Podcast. He and his co-host slash friend discuss comic books and action figures. We love this. So we just want to give back the support and love right back to you, Daniel. So if any of our bunglers are comic book fans, and a matter of fact, I've seen by skimming, he has talked about the Thundercats comics. So,
hello.
Bunglers might really get something out of that. So, Daniel,
it's always good to support the community and its and friends of the podcast. And again, you know, it's really wonderful to see this. Daniel has been really amazing. We're just really happy for him and hope that he has so much success.
Yes.
That he makes more. If he decides to get any monetary value, he makes more than $8 than we did.
Oh, God.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I think most of us, yes, most of us do this because of the love. It's not for anything else, but.
I never know time, but I want to say
you don't know how to speak. You don't know how to pronounce things. You don't know time.
But I want to say, I mean, we're in our fifth season of the show, but in September.
But are we?
No, we are in fifth season of the show.
Okay, because you aged yourself by a year or two. Like for years until you got you the actual.
And now I want to hang on to this the 30s a little longer, but I'm out of luck. I only got a few more months. It will be our sixth season, but officially 5 years in September when we started. So we've been doing this for 5 years. So clearly we must love something about it. And I really do think it's the people, as we always say.
It's the connections. I mean, it's obviously the love of what we're talking about, but it's really also pretty much the connections that we've made. And that really is what kind of propels us. Because, I mean, we would love to, I mean, honestly, the difference would be that Ryan and I would just have conversations and not be recording it and putting it out on the internet.
Oh, you're missing out on that.
No, what I'm saying is, like, if we didn't have these connections and people and reaching out and talking.
Oh, an echo chamber.
Wouldn't be, why would we put it online? We wouldn't have a podcast. We would just be having conversations. We would be, like, talking like we normally do about stuff. And, like, when I... paid $70 to have the voice actress of Jem.
Oh my God.
I am so excited.
Samantha Newark.
Yes, she, I am waiting for Samantha. Samantha. Oh, Samantha. Oh,
you I'm got my doll, Samantha.
I'm channeling what Uncle Arthur. Oh, Samantha. Oh, I cannot wait. I cannot wait. I cannot wait.
For any bunglers that don't know, Jem is actually having her 40th anniversary this year, too. She-Ra, Thundercats, Jem. Oh, girl, you look great still, Jem. You look good. You look like you
could you imagine having Synergy? Synergy, make me look 20.
Well, we're getting there, David. This is the 40th anniversary of Jem and the Holograms, and they've released, honestly, a really, David paid much more for it, like about a $25 Jem doll that has a million
exclusive
accessories.
Through Walmart.
First off, why does Walmart get all these?
Because they have the buying power. And in all honesty, it makes it accessible to a lot of people. However, if you've already noticed, this is the middle of the month of February, and I've already seen it go up to about $100 online because people already bought, people are buying it out, putting it on eBay.
I'm all for if you're a collector and you want to get two, you want to display one.
You want to play with one. Be like, no, Rio, I'm Jerrica. No, I'm just kidding.
Very Spaceballs of us. Oh, Lone Star. No, but honestly, if you want to do that, but there is just people that are just out there scalping them just for to jack up the prices, which is horrible.
And honestly, that's why, one, I obviously wanted... I wanted Samantha's autograph, so
she's selling them on her online store for quite a bigger price point than the $25. But it's worth it, right?
Listen, it's her autograph, dude. And I actually asked her, I'm hoping she does it. I put a note, please sign it to the Radical Retro Podcast and David. I'm just excited about it because Ryan and I... Jem and the Holograms, we did an episode, and that was one of our highest listened to, wasn't it? One of our highest listened to?
And our second episode ever.
And that was even when our sound was really, really bad. I know we've had some technical difficulties on and off. So we've also had
four different microphones since then. Like it's, we're on our fifth microphone.
And new laptops and lighting and everything else. And it was really well received. So
again, longevity, as David says, our bunglers might know we are going to do Jem and the Holograms once we finish this Thundercats catalog.
So Samantha.
Oh, Samantha. And of course, David, you'll post it, right?
Oh, of course. Well, of course. And I also put in the note, if you would please maybe consider going on our podcast.
And she's like, $70? I'm convinced.
I am so excited.
Also, David, you know we post clips of Thundercats on our YouTube channel. And this was amazing. Someone named Michael Clifford 4333 wrote, I went to school with one of the main writers of the show, Steve Perry. Steve's parents were born and raised in England. This is what Michael is telling us. And moved out to the U.S. I loved their accents. Steve was a great high school athlete and a talented writer. He also had published short science fiction stories as well. His demise is that of murder mysteries. You can find known facts on the internet. Rest in peace, my friend Steve. I actually like this for a few things, David. First off, we never really hear about these writers. And to get you... hear from somebody. Yes, Steve is actually famously, there's a whole thing. He kidnapped, murdered, unfortunately.
That alone breaks my heart because, you know, obviously for the obvious reasons, but it's.
But I feel like this is maybe something that no one would know about this man. So in our own little way, I hope that this reaches people and they can know more about this man, you know, coming from England and being a writer. And he was a great athlete.
I know. That's so beautiful. And I have to say thank you so much. I know you probably want to say more about the story, but I have to say thank you so much for sharing that because something we would have never even thought about. And
no.
It's so beautiful because... you know, you are sharing something and it's just a little something behind the curtains. You know what I mean?
And I agree. Wouldn't you love to know, like, off a bit, something in the future, something happens and, like, someone's like, you know what? They were really nice. Or they could say a few other things. No, I'm just joking.
So his family is originally from England. He was an athlete.
I mean, a writer evidently since high school. So there you go. It was in him. He was talented. And yes, there is a whole story about Steve, unfortunately. So Steve Perry, thank you for your contributing to Thundercats and the story and these amazing characters. And again, thank you to this Michael Clifford who just randomly wrote on one of our videos, yeah, we would never have known this. This would
Michael, thank you, Michael, so much, and that means so much, and it means a lot to other people too to share people's stories, because that's how you keep people alive. Obviously, yes. We've talked about this before.
Our last episode,
yes.
John Irwin, the voice of He-Man, passed.
And that's another thing, how we talked about how the voice of She-Ra, again, behind the curtains, explained that they actually had a lifelong friendship and that she felt her brother, she lost her brother. Maybe not brother by blood, but brother by circumstance and career. So this is actually a beautiful thing. And these people are alive through their writing, their voice acting. And again, the reason why we're here, because it touched us in such a way that we're still talking about it 40 years later. So, wow, thank you so much. Did you personally reach out to him?
Oh, yeah. I did write back to this person because, again, it would be something that we never knew about this person.
And if anybody that's listening does have a story to share, we would love hear about it, because these are just little things that kind of fall through the cracks. And
you're right, and maybe this is a way to preserve this for our little way, again, our little show. Maybe in the future this will actually come up in Thundercats
and these people's families. You know, we had Sean Buddha McEwen on, and he said the same thing: don't wait to reach out to your favorite, because they are getting older, we're getting older. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Again, I don't want to get all sad about it, but you know, it means a lot to people, especially as we get a little older. I think we get a little more sentimental. We look back, especially in our body of work and our careers and relationships and triumphs and what have you. And definitely it means a lot. You might not think so, but you know, well after the time there, you know, when you're in the forefront, like when, and yes, now all of a sudden you're on the decline, for someone to come up to you. I mean, let me tell you something. When I lived in LA and I was working in Beverly Hills, and I met a lot of old time, what I considered older actresses and actors, they were probably some of the best, nicest people I ever met. It was always, I hate to say this, not everybody is like this, but it always seemed like the newer kind of actresses and actors were this person, most snotty and stuck up. It was the people that were quietly confident, that were like the nicest, most upfront, and they were the most seasoned actors, the most kindest, the most, like, they had a catalog of movies and music, right, and a career that spanned well beyond the flash in the pan that some of these other new starlets,
15
you know,
minutes
and,
of
yeah,
fame 15 in a
minute
way.
People. And it was amazing to me how differently I got treated by certain people. And so it's a respect thing. I think it's really a respect thing. So for me, definitely going back to, thank you so much for that, because it means a lot. It's really touched my heart.
Really, honestly, because again, we would never know these things. We would never know these things.
And I didn't even know we're not going to talk about it, but the magnitude of the situation of what actually happened to him, because it's pretty brutal. I'll tell you that. I'm going to leave it at that. And it actually hurts my heart to see. I don't know the circumstances, and I don't think they fully know. I think some of it is a mystery, right? I don't think there's a full understanding of
what I'm looking at. Yeah, there's like literally probably a murder mystery, unfortunately, like this Michael said. So my God, it's a shame, but I'm glad that we're able to bring up his name again and speak it, Steve Perry. Here we go, David. This is our beginning of our first double episodes for today, The Formula Season 3, Episode 13.
Or as I'm calling it, I love to love you, baby. I love to love you, baby.
Or should we have called it Afternoon Delight?
or I'll even call it Lunagasm.
The Lunagasm. Ooh, Lynn Lipton, we speak your name.
And that's only just a tiny part. And honestly, Ryan, that's just one small fraction of the main attraction. I just couldn't get over it. In fact, when Ryan and I discussed this... I'm sorry, but before we go any further, you will be putting this clip right in. You will be inserting this clip multiple times into this, because the first thing I heard...
I'll be saving it too for our collection.
In fact, the text message we sent to each other, we were watching these movies, I was taken aback. I was like, what?
Get ready to be boosted. Hang on. We're going into Mega Thrust.
Yeah!
out of nowhere.
All right, let's set it up.
Oh, but first off, by the way, September 21st of 1988, and thank you to the Thundercats Wikipedia for the synopsis used. When Aloro discovers that his new fuel formula causes living things to grow to giant size, he and Luna decides to use it against the Thundercats. Okay, David.
Luna and Aloro are watching the Feliner take off to New Thundera. Luna is PO'd because she said that Sky Tomb does not have the power. They're discussing, her and Aloro, that does not have the power to go there because I guess they're not finding any Thundrillium to...
They got back from the Crab Shack, so they made it back to Third Earth. In the meantime,
I mean, Ryan, if you see a faded sign at the end of the road that says 15 miles to the Crab Shack,
there you go.
There they go again, off to New Thundera to look for that blasted treasure of Thundera, and Sky Tomb doesn't have the power to follow them. This situation is intolerable.
Cool your jets, Luna. I may have solved that particular problem with this. My new multi-octane high-potential maximum velocity fuel formula.
Say that again.
My new multi-octane high-potential maximum velocity fuel formula. Booster juice. My new invention. Fill the Sky Tomb fuel tanks with this stuff.
They made it back, but then Sky Tomb, you are just shocked because they don't come from here. So wouldn't their ship be interplanetary?
No, Sky Tomb was built on Third Earth.
But wasn't it part... Oh, maybe
no,
it was.
No, Sky Tomb was built on Third Earth. They made the Brute Men and Burbles, didn't they? And everybody...
Oh, you're right.
They
right.
were slaves. You are getting old.
My God, I am.
Now, I'm confused here because I'm thinking now... So he presents her with a small vial that maybe the Charmed Ones would throw at a demon to vanquish it. And then Luna... Immediately, is this when she starts to orgasm? And I'm just going to say the word orgasm because...
So I wrote, he's the Vulture Man of the Lunatex.
Yes.
He's the scientific one. He says something like, this is a blah, 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 blah formula. And she goes, say that again? And then he puts it inside.
Ah!
They blast off, and so does Luna. Oh, unbelievable.
Unbelievable. We're going into mega thrust.
Your formula had better work, Aloro.
It'll work. Get ready to be boosted.
Fire!
Going into mega thrust.
And Luna was really
No, you're not doing it justice. It was I've never heard anything quite like it on Thundercats. And I again will say I'll have whatever she's having because and she said it was drawn out, unbelievable. We're going into mega thrust. Now, most of us would like a little mega thrust now and again, I would imagine. Most of us would like a good mega thrust now and again, but...
Say that again?
Now.
Actually, I don't even know what I was going to say.
Okay, I want to say something unrelated.
It was the best. So,
after this orgasm thing, this lunagasm moment, the only thing I could think of was when my actual husband...
Oh.
Let me segue this. Don't get all excited, you perverts. My husband, one time... Does everybody know when Homer Simpson drools over a donut and makes that noise?
Oh, yeah!
My husband has actually made that noise over food once. He was like... He was like... I was like, what are you, Homer Simpson? I don't know where that turned into that, but brings me back to the time that my husband did the Homer Simpson donut drooling noise. All these different emotions, food and love and sex are all the same to me. It must be our Mediterranean background.
So do you remember our classic Thundercats bloopers, right? Where they're cursing and they're being sexual. Yeah. Why do I feel like our cast, they were very playful and they all seemed to really get along together. And Lynn Lipton was known to bring her video camera and record the sessions and things like that. She seems like a really cool person. But why do I feel like they were really laughing over this themselves too? There's no way you see nothing. You just see like bass and you hear,
Unbelievable. We're going into Unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. They also, David, have little helmets on.
Yeah, which didn't make any sense. It was like only wrapped around their ears. It looked like some kind of like old fashioned like
football helmets, like those football, old leather ones.
Like, or they were like flying the Red Baron's plane, but like the tops weren't. It was very strange. Very strange.
It was comical for them too. And Luna actually was really on a muck side. Like usually, I feel like she'd be like, ah. But there's one point where she's like, get off him, help him. Oh, well, anyway, we'll get to it. So this formula, it kind of does blast them off, but at the same time, it also has a dual.
Well, the thing is that it's too powerful for the engines, and Allura says we
and have Luna, evidently.
This is a technique that maybe some people don't know. If a plane is potentially going to crash or it's going on fire, they would dump the fuel. It's a way of preventing from catching fire. So they would dump the fuel, and so Alloro decides that he's going to dump the fuel that is infused with this new formula in order to save them from go because they're out of control. So he dumps it, and they start to use whatever regular fuel that they have in their other tanks. And they come to realize that the fuel that has fallen onto the vegetation has mutated it to exponentially crazy sizes. And has mutated not only the vegetation, but any creature or bugs or anything that's in that area.
What happened? I've never seen anything like it.
It must be my fuel formula. It's boosted the plant life. Anything it touches becomes super.
Are you getting, now I know they're not tiny, but Honey, I Shrunk the Kids vibes with this whole episode?
I was getting that. I was getting Jack and the Beanstalk. I was getting a lot of things. And my first thought was, great, more mutated stuff on a plant that's already trying to kill you with everything on it.
Exactly. This is what this land really needed, just to add to the beauty. So there's an odd cut here. So Luna is saying we have to give these to those stupid mutants, right, David? And it cuts to commercial for a second, but the commercials. Also, did you notice that this episode had like the bumpers or one of them?
Now back to the Thundercats.
Yeah. And it was cut off though. It would be just like, not even the beginning part of it. It was just like, boom. Like the end of
Thundercats.
So much for my precious formula. That fuel's a bust.
Are you kidding, Allura? I think you finally invented a weapon which will do the Thundercats in. All we have to do is to give it to those stupid mutants.
It cuts to back from the commercial, just the Thunder Kittens and Pumaira. First off, Pumaira.
Thank you, Pumaira. Thank you.
Speak your
name.
Back,
Pumaira. You're back from oblivion.
We're truly on the countdown. She does not have too many episodes left. So thank you.
Thank you for giving her a little something. So we have the Thundercat, the Thunder Kittens and Pumaira are actually going on a picnic.
I really think this is really sweet. But she also tells Wile E. Cat, we can't always go to things. Because he's complaining that he wanted to go to New Thundera. This is Pumaira's life lesson. Right? She's like, we can't always be included.
So I wrote, the Thunder Kittens are complaining they can't go to New Thundera, and they're with Pumaira, who says you can't always go every single time. And I said, but secretly, you know, she's thinking they're abandoning me every time they go someplace.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then she goes, Lion-O didn't go either.
Yes.
But you didn't hear him complaining. But then I thought to myself, girl, it's because he's with his lover Bengali back in Cat's lair. You know
Because Bengali and Snarfer don't appear here, so maybe he was in the bedroom.
He was tied to the bed. He was playing Lord of the Thundercats.
Oh my god. You know, speaking of it, I think I might have forgotten Bengali somewhere. I, like, where did I leave him?
Lion out!
Calling from the bedroom.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Ah!
We're going to Mega Thrust.
It's a beautiful day for a picnic.
I just wish we could have gone on that mission to New Thundera.
We can't all go every time, Wily Cat.
I know, but a picnic's so boring compared to a trip to New Thundera.
Well, Lion-O didn't go either. He's spending all day checking the computer stats, and you don't hear him complaining.
We set up that whole thing. I love that. Yes, Lion-O, the Lord of the Thundercats, is actually just sitting and doing a boring job of checking the computer monitors. That's right, you know? And they're lucky. They get to go on a picnic, not for anything. I rather the picnic. I rather sitting out there. This is when, I believe, the mutants now are given... Oh, here we go. The multi-octane high potential maximum velocity fuel formula. Oh, that's what she says. Say that again.
Unbelievable.
Proves to be too strong and sends Sky 2 zooming out of control. In order to stop it, Alora dumps the fuel, like you said. Alora and Luna concur to hand over the booster juice to the mutants. Is that what they're calling it now on the street? Booster juice to the mutants? So
back in the day, we called it bath salts.
Bath salt zombies. So they're handed to the mutants so they may employ it against the Thundercats. So, David, the mutants are cloud seeding. I think that's the name of the term. They're shooting the clouds. Mm-hmm. And it begins to rain, David. It begins to rain around the cat's lair.
So, all we have to do is spray Alluro's magic formula around the lair?
That's right. And then the Thundercats are plant food, yes?
It's the mutants! An air attack!
Let's get back to the lair!
There's no time. Quick, into that cave.
And we're getting very Sleeping Beauty Castle with this, David. The lair is surrounded by vines and trees. Cut to Lynxo and Snarf in the Tower of Omens. They're saying something's going on, right? So Snarf, Lynxo, who are at the Tower of Omens, come to the rescue, but they are captured by the mutants who imprison them.
Mutants! Now we know there's trouble at the lair!
Don't worry, the Thunder Tank will outrun them.
Okay, so then they go in the Thunder Tank, and I've never seen Braille board Thunder Tank driving. I really honestly think this is the first time we've seen anyone besides...
I've never seen... this is the first... I wrote
Lion-O down, this, I've seen once
I've,
in a while.
I've seen... This is the first time I've seen Lynxo lose his cool. He was kind of PO'd. Got a little upset.
I think he's not in his element. He's never... He's not literally a driver. He's more of a flyer. And he was typing on the Braille board as he drove, so who knew?
I don't understand. There was nothing in the road?
A second ago there wasn't, and then there was.
Blast! The impact must have shorted the power out. The Braille board and the Thunder Tank are dead.
You mean we're helpless?
Snarf, snarf.
I'm afraid so.
Outside of Castle Plunder, David, the alien scarecrow totems return outside. They're really going with a nice theme. You know, this is part of their downtime. They're decorating. Slythe is still cooking.
Well, isn't it funny, too? Did you notice that the mutants now have kind of 100% slid into that they're the servants or the henchmen of the Lunatics? It's like, yeah. We'll do whatever they say. It's like they've kind of given up. They've lost their fighting spirit again.
Oh my god. This is so sad. So yes, there is the scene where they bring Lynxo and Snarf into the jail cell and they throw them in there. And they said, we're going to give you to Luna for more brownie points, I want to say.
Don't get too comfortable or whatever because you're not staying very long.
So cute. A tiny mouse is trapped and Snarf saves it.
He says, don't worry, we're your friends.
I love that.
Yes, yeah. I don't like this one little bit, Lynxo. What's that?
It's coming from over there.
Yeah. It's a mouse. little fella. Now, now, now. No need to be afraid of old Snarf. That's right. Snarf and Lynxo are your friends.
Actually, we should cut back to the main thing that's going on now. Pumaira, Wily Kit, and Wily Cat, the picnic was disturbed. Ruined. She says, run into a local, like a nearby cavern, Pumaira at first.
Come on, we've got to get back to the lair.
Which way is the lair? It's impossible to tell.
Then they say, you know what? It's happening at the lair, so we need to get to Lion-O. So Pumaira, the kit, and Cat are walking. And then we pass by this, I think it's an adorable, I would say My Little Pony-esque
Yeah,
flower.
It keeps looking at them as they pass, and it finally grabs
Cat.
Cat.
It grabs Cat. I mean, man, he is being sucked wild, though, David. I mean, like, because he's not chewed, but what is happening to him in there, honestly?
Oh, unbelievable, what you just said.
I guess it wasn't chewing on him, right?
Maybe he was trying to be dissolved. But what I wanted to say in this part, which nobody said, was we get our first Thundercats curse out of the whole series. Cat says holy jaga, which you know means holy shit.
Oh, holy jaga, yeah.
What is that stuff?
Holy jaga.
He says holy jaga, which to me is the holy SH.
Just because you're out with Pumaira don't mean you could start cursing now, Wily Kit, Wily Cat. He's like, cute. Somehow they hear this. And they turn around, and Kit doesn't go right to it. She's like, she just kind of shocked in Pumaira, I guess, because she's the adult in the situation.
She throws a pellet at it, but she says she can't use a stronger one because it might hurt.
She's like, use a stronger pellet, Pumaira, do something. What is your powers?
Use your medical training.
I can't, so I can't.
Pumaira, help me!
Kit. Use a stronger pellet, Pumaira! I can't! Anything stronger might hurt Wily Cat, too!
Oh my god, David. Here you go. Everything is a weapon. Pumaira uses the picnic basket to slap and hit the plant in its head, which actually releases Wily Cat. And when she does hit it, they say it's Wonderberry Muffins from Snarf. Why does it look like hamburgers?
He's like that show, is it cake? Everything everything looks something like something else.
Wily Cat, are you all right?
Well, how about that? It looks like our friend prefers Snarf's Wonderberry Muffins to a nice, tasty Thunder Kitten.
There's no accounting for taste, is there?
At one point, Lion-O does leave the lair, and he comes across a giant insect.
What kind of stunt is this? What? Pumaira and the Thunder Kittens are out there. I've got to help them.
And this insect, David, is holding the Sword of Omens and slashing at him with one of his little insect hands.
Nice of you to bring me my sword. But this whole scene is beginning to bug me.
Yeah, which made the insect almost cognitive of what he was doing. Like, it wasn't like a dumb bug.
There's actually two insects in this thing that are gigantic. And he's dealing with this. And at the same time, Kit and Kat and Pumaira are then put into a gigantic ball of...
By the ball worm!
I don't know. It's basically inside of a webbed ball. And you just see their heads now.
Conveniently.
At Castle Plundar, they release Snarf and Lynxo to be taken somewhere, right? But then in the Instrum, their tank is leaking, I want to say, and the mouse, poor mouse, is now chemically treated. He grows. I mean, and it was such a sweet mouse. The mouse looks like one of those rats from, like, Fightful, like when they fight at the end of American Tale.
The mouse of Minsk.
Yes! That's what it looked like.
It's a giant mouse of Minsk.
It's the giant mouse of Minsk!
It was scary as hell. So this is now attacking the mutants and they're running around. Linkso's ears glow, David. They glow. And he's alerted and he's like, we should grab this stuff. And for some reason, Snarf knows that Vulture Man's laboratory has to be close.
Grab some of that stuff, Snarf. We have to analyze it so we can make an antidote.
Perhaps we can do that in Vulture Man's lab. This way.
Good idea. Lead on, Snarf.
You know, we used to hang out back in the day. We were friends,
You know, Vulture. We can analyze this stuff in Vulture Man's lab. Okay. So then they're working on this concoction. The mutants get away from the rat and they're ramming the door of Vulture Man's lab to try to like break this down. And Linkso actually is back to being cool. And he's like, just take it easy, Snarf. You know, like pour this damn liquid into.
I wanted to just jump in for a second. This episode and the next one definitely was very, 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 not moral heavy, but like theme heavy, as far as this episode definitely, even in the beginning when there was a problem and Snarf was like getting panicky, Linkso was like, you need to calm down, we're going to get to the Thunder Tank. This episode was definitely heavy on the theme of keeping cool in a desperate situation, right. Being patient, being methodical. Like this definitely, if I could say, was
the moral, is that what you
the
think?
Moral or the value or the teaching definitely was very, very present. Not just at the end where we have the recap. It was very, very pushed in your face. And it's actually, I was actually wrote a comment in the next episode as well, where again, very pushed in your face. And I don't mean that like in a bad way, but just very in the forefront, not just at the wrap up, but like Linkso kept saying it over and over again. You have to be patient. Like these things take time. You need to calm down, be level.
Even pouring
kept,
the
yes, it kept going over and over. It was like very much ingrained in your head like that. That's what, if I could say, the message that I got from the whole thing was that.
What do we do now? Lion-O's in trouble.
I know, Snarf, I know. But we'll never be able to help them if we panic now. So calm down and mix the contents of those two test tubes.
I just hope you know what you're doing.
So do I, Snarf. So do I.
So this is when Snarf says, thank Jaga. And Linkso says, Jaga has nothing to do with this time, Snarf. Science, Snarf. Science. No, I don't know.
She blinded me with science.
We get the Jaga name drop. By a stroke of luck, the Thundercats manage to escape from the cell and manage to manufacture an antidote to the booster juice inside Vulture Man's laboratory. They open the window and Snarf's like, there's a sky cutter outside. Damn, why not? They must somehow climb down this window.
They jump. Charlie's Angel style. It's Lucy Liu and Cameron Diaz and Drew Barrymore, and they jump.
So they fly out in the sky cutter and scatter the antidote over the affected areas, and this clears up most things. Lion-O gets the sword back from the insect, but the kittens and Pumaira are still stuck in the bowl.
Boy, are we glad to see you. Get us out of here, please.
Are you sure you want out? If you stay in there long enough, you might turn into a butterfly.
Lion-O, look out behind you!
And she don't look too happy. Matter of fact, he's like, hey, you're forgetting about us. And
just then, you're hanging around.
Yeah, Lion-O was really like punny today. Yeah,
he's like, what is this? What is the stuff that you're spraying? It's called Roundup.
Oh my God. Sounds like in a few years, we'll have a lawsuit with the warrior maidens, Smarf.
It's called Roundup. It kills everything we don't like, Lion-O. We got it from the deadly smooth desert. Whatever. The deadly geyser. It's called Roundup.
We spray it on the mutants when they come over. You know, part of the early detection system that we installed.
Lion-O! Thank Jaga, you're safe!
Jaga has nothing to do with it this time, Snarf. It's you and Linkso I should thank. I don't know what I'd have done without you. Well, I guess we better get back to the lair and figure out how to put everything back to normal.
Hey! What about us?
Huh? Wily kids, Wily Cat. Why, I didn't realize you were still hanging around.
Oh, Lion-O!
Panther, Tigra, and Chitara head back only to find a few trinkets we hear this time. They do have readings for the next journey back to New Thundera. And this is the best. Kit and Kat said they left the mutant's vehicle basically in a patch of some kind of mutant eatings. Plants?
So they left a tiny patch of deadly whatever things? Deadly plants, and they put their equipment in it.
Lionel loves that.
They're
he
like,
laughs.
Oh well, what? He's like, oh well, what's a little more deadly plants on the planet?
We've sprayed the East Meadow and all of the affected areas,
except for one small patch of mutant eating zinnias.
And that's where we left the sky cutter and the nosediver.
Okay, there's also a part. Did you get the part where they said they were going to go drop them at the Burble Village and then sprayed on the candy fruit? Now, would that really have made the candy fruit bad, or would it make big candy fruit big?
Oh, big candy fruit energy?
No,
I think it would have maybe just overrun their
So
their
here's
land.
The question. Would you have not taken that formula and tried to refine it? Maybe one drop would make something like grow really
but
big, but not.
But is it fuel? Really fuel? Like you're drinking, like you would be drinking some kind of fuel?
I don't know.
I mean, you know, Alora probably, oh God, meth lab.
You'll never know that it was made with methamphetamine.
While Luna was too busy pleasuring herself, not even now.
I call this bath salts, Thundercat. Oh my God. I don't know.
Some trivia. As we said, Bengali and Snarfer are the only members of Thundercats who do not appear.
Snarfer is at the taco stand, Robert Roberto's.
I think, honestly, with Bengali. Maybe
no,
they took a ride.
No, Bengali.
Oh, he's
is,
in the bedroom.
He's at home waiting. Patiently.
Writing in a notebook, Lionel, with little hearts on it.
He's sketching him. Hello, is it me you're looking for?
Grrr. Oh, only grr. Two mutants and two Lunatics appear in this episode. Okay. This is one of few episodes in which the Thundercats have to face off against colossal insects. The other one happened in Return of the Driller. And the Nosediver, which is a land and sea vehicle, is shown to be flying high in the sky in this episode. Didn't even notice. Honestly.
Chilla is at Hook Mountain hoping that the snowman will use his power, Lance, to reform her face that was melted by salt because she can't do it herself.
Can you imagine she's doing plastic surgery currently?
She's like,
I'll do whatever you say.
My God.
You will clean Snowman's cage.
Little lady has no head.
Frozen lady.
Oh my God. So David, what would you give this episode on a host scale? Because it was, I mean, I say this every episode now lately, but it was different. I mean, we're not getting like...
I mean, for the sheer Luna. Pleasure
of it. Of Luna.
I'll give it a 4.2.
Four. I actually have 4.2, David.
Four,
four.
A four. I'll give it a 4 because it may, I can't get over the fact that it... Yeah, that we need to do an AI. We need to do an AI album of Luna's moment.
Actually, Lynn Lipton as Luna is another great performance.
And there was some cool stuff with it. I mean,
if you get Pumaira, if you get her attacking with a picnic basket,
I love the Thundercat curse. I love the Lunagasm. I love that. And do you know what? I already have a bungler for this. Super easy already. I had a bungler from the beginning
because I didn't. So that's even better. Okay.
Okay.
Attention, Thundercats fans! Prepare for the ultimate thrill with Hall of Omens, the unofficial ultimate guide to Thundercats toys and beyond. Embark on a global journey to unearth rare Thundercats figures from every corner of the world. Read the untold stories from brilliant minds behind the iconic Thundercats franchise, like Larry Kenny, Peter Lawrence, Jim Meskimen, and many more. Explore over 220 pages containing 2,000 plus captivating photos and uncover all the secrets of the Thundercats toys. Become the ultimate Thundercats expert and secure your copy of Hall of Omens, the unofficial ultimate guide to Thundercats toys and beyond today at ThundercatsToyGuide.com. Thundercats, ho!
Can I have your attention, please? I've been asked to give everyone's marching orders.
Now pay attention.
Weekdays at 4, fall in for Toonami.
You're getting lazy. Now let's get going.
Every day should begin with a little Sailor Moon.
The name of the moon? I'll punish you. Ah! Watch out!
At 4:30, it's Re-Education with the Thundercats.
Go with justice,
truth,
honor,
and loyalty.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
We continue with Locket of Lies, Season 3, Episode 14, with the original air date of September 22nd, 1988, possibly. Mumra manufactures the Locket of Lies, a fake compass that leads the Thundercats right into his trap. He manufactures. This is his new job, evidently.
Now, he opens up with almost saying that he's infusing the pool of...
I wrote in Mumra's vacation villa. That's basically like he's just randomly on New Thundera today. He's like, let me see what today. Oh, yes.
Now, my horrid hound, let us see what we have made. Become magical waters of my evil cauldron. Become and yield your prize. Yield me the locket of lies. Look, Marmot, see what we have made. The locket of lies. This will lead the Thundercats to their doom. First, Marmot, my mangy mongrel, you must plant the locket. Somewhere here on New Thundera, where the Thundercats will find it, I suggest the Valley of Snarfs.
And he's like, you know what? Let me take a look. He's like scrolling through. Oh, let me kind of take elements of Sailor Moon's locket. It has lights that spin around it.
What do we have here? Oh, a compass, yes.
Don't you think he should have put like a fake Thundercat symbol on it?
I was thinking
attention
the same
to detail,
thing.
People. Attention to detail.
I am assuming he was considering this a treasure, right? And they did say, we never saw this. Yeah, he could have. He missed opportunity, but it worked anyway. Hey,
I know, but I would have, you know how I am. Every detail.
I swear he says, be calm, water, and make the locket of lies. Maybe I was wrong, but we'll play the clip, of course. And then he tells Marmot, you must plant the locket so they can find it.
And then Marmot does some kind of like spinning thing where he turns red and stays in a position for a while.
A ball? The Mumra famous glowing ball that sometimes appears.
And then he's thinking to himself, linking back, has Lino held him in his arms?
Is that why he's on New Thundera? He can't face it alone.
He's got to stay away. He's like, I mustn't tell him my feelings.
Good work, my malevolent mutt. Let us see whether the wretched Snarfs will take the bait.
Stop! Wait! Do you hear that? It's coming from over there! Whatever it is, it's beautiful!
You know, it may be part of the treasure of Thundera. We should tell the Thundercats about it.
In the Valley of Snarfs, that is so cute and European to me, I wrote David. It looks like a little Dutch town, I feel like. A little, something really cute.
No wooden shoes?
You didn't even bring wooden shoes. So, the Snarf village, Egbert comes upon the amulet and Oswald. Snarf Oswald! They find the locket and they say, oh my god, we gotta contact the Thundercats. So, I'm assuming this is Snarf's bedroom? The communicator in Snarf's bedroom is connected to an elliptical machine.
That's one way to have to exercise.
And did you notice he says something about Snarf communications, like, basically outdated or not as good? He's literally pedaling on an elliptical bike. They tell him, you know, we think we found one of the treasures. We swear it's not Mumra this time, right? It's like every time there's a Snarf involved and there's a thing on this, hey, you see?
Egbert calling Cat's lair. Come in, Snarf. Come in.
Snarf here. Hey, Egbert. What's wrong with your Snarf communicator? It's cutting in and out.
Sorry, Snarf. It must be some atmospheric condition here on New Thundera affecting communications. But I'm calling to tell the Thundercats that we found a...
I'll have to have a word with those Snarfs on Thundera. There has to be a better way of communicating. This one will be the death of poor old Snarf.
Just as Mumra had predicted, Snarf Oswald and Snarf Egbert come upon the amulet, and then via the Snarf communicator, relay the news of their find to Snarf, who is inside Cat's lair.
Did the Snarfs say why they want us up on Thundera?
You know, Lion-O, Snarf communications are a bit backward. All I know is they found something.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's go find out.
Thinking they may have one of the treasure of Thundera, Snarf informs Lion-O about the locket. The young lord, along with Panther, Tigra, and Chitara, fly to New Thundera in the Feliner. After briefly studying the locket, Panther concludes that it appears to be a compass, which may lead them to something important. So yes, this locket is making a beeping sound. That's how the Snarfs were able to find it in the beginning as well. Mumra says, "We must greet our prisoners." Oh, I mean our guests. And transforms using the new ancient spirits, come off their pedestal, walk around, spin. The pool, David, the new pool has 4 points of stairs now around it. You know, you can go on each corner of the thing. It's beautiful, beautiful. Lion-O and the cats arrive to the Snarfs.
Well, here we are, Egbert. What can we do for you?
This is why we called you, Thundercats. We found it near here. We thought it might be part of the treasure of Thundera.
I never saw anything like this in the Book of Omens.
Me neither. I wonder what it is.
If we can figure out this flashing light... no matter which way I turn it, the lights adjust so that it's always pointing the same way.
It must be some kind of direction finder.
Or a compass.
So, let's follow the flashing light and see where we end up.
They're starting to follow this signal, and they're going over mountains, fields, meadows, and at one point there's a huge opening. Chitara uses, I love this, she uses her stick as like a vaulting pole, which
I
is
said
so
Chitara's
smart.
Olympic pole jump.
Yes! Tigra uses his whip in that monkey bar formation he's able to.
Whip bridge, I should say, whip bridge.
But he never does it straight forward like a tightrope. He does it so it's like a bridge almost, like a Zelda stepladder. And then Panther turns into a ball?
I put Panther Sonic the Hedgehog spike spinner.
Like Wile E. Kit did in season 1 for one episode. Remember, she turned into a ball? This is great. Lion-O says, I've never seen a bunch of... Wait, what does he say about a bunch of show-offs?
Come on, Thundercats. We're getting near. So, what are you waiting for?
2 can play at that game. Beat that!
I've never seen 3 worse show-offs in my life. So get this. Ho! What are we waiting for?
delay while you can, Thundercats. It will be the last fun you ever have.
I think it's really fun because it shows, yes, they're very serious and they love their mission and this and that, but I do enjoy that they are playful like this.
They have to be a little, you have to have a little bit of fun in life. Everything's trying to kill you.
I like that this is their personality. It's something simple, but...
And then Lionel uses the Sword of Omens and literally just, right as he just hovers over them, propels
just
go, himself.
It's just like, oh, poor Snarfs, though. They remember that they're across the thing and they can't get over. And they said, we'll help you. But since they're already stuck over on a rock, they go, just go ahead, Lionel.
They're like, we'll catch up. Ugh.
Oh, boy. If I thought we were going to try out for the Snarf Olympics, I'd have stayed in bed.
Hang in there, Egbert. I'll help you.
No, you go on ahead, Lionel. We'll try to follow your trail. It's safer that way.
Wouldn't it have just been easier, though, to grab them? I mean, they say it'll be safer that way.
It'll be easier if we just do it ourselves. No, I don't know.
So now these two start bickering. Now, is this one of the things that you were saying that they're telling you in? Like, they start bickering about everything. Like, you found the locket. If you didn't find the locket.
Yeah, I had wrote, powerful lesson, even lifelong friends argue sometimes.
Take that, you miserable furball. Who are you calling miserable? You overweight excuse for a snuff. Now, well, one more piece. Out of you, and I'll you and who's on me? Come on, stop, stop, stop! Oswald, what on Thundera are we thinking about? If we go on like this, we'll never catch up with the Thundercats.
Well, don't just stand there, do something.
And they did say that, right? You guys have been friends for so long, Snarf.
So again, this is, again, I guess because she said it, I wrote at the very end, for some reason, the last two episodes really have pronounced the lessons for me. I don't know if it's something that just happened to be sensitive for these two episodes, or it's something that was overly pronounced in these episodes by the writers.
Right. Because you can tell sometimes they tack things on just because they need something. They're like, oh, like, my God,
I don't know, did you
lesson?
Feel that? Because I felt these last two episodes, it was...
integrated in the story.
It wasn't mentioned just once or twice. It was very pronounced for me.
The locket leads them to a beautiful collapsing building. Did it not look like the Moon Kingdom from Sailor Moon?
Yes, it did. I wrote that. And I also said ruins of sort of a Moon Kingdom nondescript temple.
Beautiful. Like, it's just another...
Maybe. I'm telling you, that's why I said he had the locket. I was waiting for the silver crystal.
Oh my God, yes! When the Thundercats get to the ruins, they collapse into a literal box that has an Illuminati eye.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Speak
like,
on
oh,
it.
Oh no, we found an old Illuminati temple.
Someone says, did you hear, Lionel, did you hear Mumra laughing as we were falling? Like, or no, is that just my inner dialogue of, right?
Mumra's laugh is the theme for my life.
It's like haunting them?
It's the theme song of my life. I live for you, Mumra. I love you.
Chitara, are you all right?
I think so. Just a bit winded.
No bones broken.
Pride's a bit hurt, though. It looks easy enough to get out.
Did you hear Mumra laughing as we fell down here?
I was hoping it was just my imagination.
No chance of that. I heard him too, and I'd swear he's somewhere nearby. I can just feel it.
So why are we hanging around?
Then Mumra appears, and this is the best. This is the absolute best. I don't know what part, I don't know if this is before or after, but he goes, ding dong dell, kittens in a well. Who put them there? Little Mumra.
Faster, fellas. I'm getting some really bad feelings about this.
So far, so... Mumra!
Ding dong dell, kittens in the well. Who put him in? Little Mumra!
Now.
Ding, dong, ding. Like, yeah, what the hell was these? Ding, dong, ding.
Yeah. Ding, dong, dell. Kittens in a well. He's like, and by the way, while you're gone, I will now be introducing a line of nursery songs on iTunes.
Where does he come up with these? And he's lived long enough to acquire songs, nursery rhymes.
I have also started a new network, a line of new ding body dong. Raps and Ooh. Nursery rhymes and nursery rhymes. Ding dong dell, kittens in a well.
It Who was Mumra.
Little Mumra. Not just Mumra, Little Mumra. It's like
a tiny dancer.
Little Wayne.
Hold me closer, tiny.
Yeah, hold me closer, little Mumra. Oh my God, he's
really going with the tiny Mumra thing.
That was a way of getting back at Lion. He's like, I can't be with you.
Let me remind you that you called me Little Mumra, though. They go through this the horror of trying to get out of the Star Wars dump. Like from the first.
So
Star
here's
Wars
the thing,
the
too.
Star.
They go collapsing. Lion-O does this. Does the claw shield, and then they're going up, and Chitara's like, "Boys, let's hustle because I feel something bad's going to go on."
Oh, I love this. She goes, "Climb faster, fellas! I got a bad feeling." I like that. Climb faster, fellas.
Now, why didn't she just use her pole and get out quicker? No. I mean, in the very beginning when they were climbing up, they didn't know that yet. And it wasn't, the top wasn't on. So bottom line is they got climbing up and Mumra's at the top going, oops!
He pulls the little
and drops
line.
Them. Then Lion-O uses the Sword of Omens. This is what got me. He uses the Sword of Omens to shoot at Mumra. Mumra captures the energy in his hand and basically shoots it back down at them.
Yes.
Now, what's the line he used? Because I can't remember it. It was a good line. He's like, you'll be trapped here forever. But he said something. What was the verbiage?
Well, at the end, he wrote, you may have escaped by a never living.
No. He said something like that alluded to what was really going to happen to them if they tried to escape. He said, you'll be here for eternity.
Oh, unless you try to escape, I think. Didn't he say something?
If you
like
don't
that?
Try to escape or something. No, if you don't try to escape. He said you'll be here for eternity if you don't try to escape.
What does he mean? If we don't try to escape?
Who knows? Who cares?
They're standing there and after a while, is it Panthro? Who's like, oh.
Just get the... And Panther does his normal, you will regret this, mommy, kind of thing.
He, it's so funny because out of all of them, he does have that tongue for him.
And Mumra's
I'll
like,
get that mummy and
you
beat
racist.
His...
You mummy racist.
Like Matej called him. It's true, he's like, you'll regret this, mummy. No, I don't even know.
You're going to regret today, Mumra. When I'm finished with you, you need more than a few yards of bandage to hold you together.
Brave words, Panthro. But what makes you think you're ever going to get out of there?
So then the walls start collapsing, right? So smart, Chitara's like, well, here, let me do my pole. It actually keeps up the ceiling for a little while, but then Tigra has to do his whip again. Panthro does the sides with a laser. I actually have the biggest bungler right here. Ho! Lift me up where we belong again. Like, come on. You don't mean to tell me the Sword of Omens would have just exploded this building? But all right. The walls close as they try to attack it. They use their weapons to hold the ceiling from collapsing. Cut to the Snarfs are fighting. They get up past their rocky area and there's a split in the road and the most gigantic footprints I've ever seen in the world. One of them is saying, it's the Thundercats footprints. First off, it looked like Mumro's foot to me, but it wasn't either. He says, that's a Wally.
Wally.
Egbert says, they're extinct. And Oswald says, you're thinking of the Greater Valley, Wally. This is the Lightfoot Wally of the...
fool.
I have no idea, but I guess
you're thinking of human beings.
Those feet are bigger than Chitara's head.
This way. Nonsense, Oswald. I can see the Thundercats' footprints. They went this way. Nonsense. Snuff. Those are Wally tracks. Wally tracks. Wally tracks. Everyone knows Wallys are extinct.
You're thinking of the great Tebbit Wally, which is extinct. Snarf. I'm talking about the Lesser Knock Wally, which is alive and well and living on New Fundera. Snarf. Now follow me.
They end up going the right way, I'm assuming, because they end up getting to the collapsed moon tower. But get this. I love this because there's a shot where it's collapsing and above, Jaga doesn't go down with them. He's like,
no, I'm not getting in there. I don't like confined spaces, even though I'm a spirit.
He goes above and looks down at them and he just...
As he always does.
Trust in the sword. He's like, Lion-O, did I really have to appear for this? Did I really just appear for this, Lion-O?
This is going from bad to worse.
Trust, Lion-O.
Jaga.
Trust in the Sword of Omens.
The Sword of Omens? How can that help us? Our friends are back on Third Earth. They will never reach us in time.
The Eye of Thundera is the source of our power, Lion-O.
The Eye of Thundera. Thunder.
Mumra went to sleep in the meantime, and Mammut sees that the Thundercats get out when Lion-O uses the Sword of Omens, and he says, "What is it, you dreadful dog?"
I know, he said he was so, I put he's so mean to Mammut for waking him up.
Only when he's tired, though.
Yeah, he's cranky.
He's very cranky when you wake him up, because otherwise he'd be like, "Oh, let me hold you."
Ah, what is it, you dreadful dog? How dare you disturb your master's rest? How dare they? How did they? It is not possible. My plan was foolproof. Yet those miserable, self-righteous do-gooders have escaped. Well, they may have escaped. But I am ever living. My time will come. And when it does, Thundercats, I will finally destroy you.
So he says, how dare they? How did they? Dramatics. How did they? How
he always acts like they wronged him by wanting to survive. They didn't want to get crushed to death.
For wanting to survive.
How dare they not want to be crushed alive?
This indignity.
He says they may have escaped, but I am ever living, and my time will come. And when it comes, I will finally destroy you. All right.
Okay, all right.
We have this wrap-up where Lion-O says to Egbert and Oswald, you know, hey, you guys, you've been fighting all day, and you have been lifelong friends. And they said, yeah, you're right. They shake on it, and they say, Snarfs, ho!
We're so ashamed of ourselves.
Why?
While you were trapped in that awful place, we were wasting time arguing. If we'd got here earlier, we could have saved you.
You were quarreling? But I thought you guys were good friends.
We are. That's what makes it worse.
Well, I guess even the closest friends sometimes argue.
And we did escape, so no harm's done.
They're right. And I'm sorry, Oswald. I know I sometimes make you angry. I don't mean to.
That's okay, Egbert. And I am a bit of a smart aleck. It must be very irritating. So let's shake and put it all behind us.
Suits me.
Snarfs.
Ho! Thunder, 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 thundercats.
Okay, I gave this a 4.3 for some reason. I think it had a lot of action and very great, like, them climbing up the line and Chitara saying, you know, feeling the dread, and then Lion-O getting up and seeing Mumra holding the line. I thought that was very Indiana Jones, very adventurous. I just enjoyed, like, little things like that. I liked seeing more of, like, the ruins. I'm giving it a 4.3, a little higher, actually, from our last episode.
I'll go with that. I'll actually give it a 4.5. I really liked it. It's a little different. I actually enjoyed the fact that Mum-Ra was able to crush the power of the Sword of Omens for once. And I kind of, while that happened, I was thinking to myself, is it because Lionel was not focused, or was it because this was a place of power? Like were these symbols on the, was this some kind of like nexus?
I did think it was kind of like almost like he was just taken by a surprise and he just shot like a little, like I don't know.
Because even the power when they were trying to shoot was bouncing off of the walls. So there had to have been some sort of enchantment on the walls too. It wasn't just like there were thick walls. It was something about...
Well, that eye must... Actually, you're right.
There were symbols on all four walls, actually. You just
noticed. So then maybe there was then some kind of mythical thing. That actually makes sense.
So I kind of like... You know, I'm like I really love that kind of like mysterious, magical, you know, hoopla. I kind of like that. So I kind of like that too. And I like the... Because I love the Thundercats. I never want them to lose. But it's nice to see once in a while that Mum-Ra, the Sword of Omens, can't just do everything. All the damn time.
Because then we know that they'll never be in danger.
Yeah, exactly.
So true, David. All right, so our trivia, none of the new Thundercats appear, which is very easy to see. In this episode, we hear Mum-Ra recite his own nursery rhyme, Ding Dong Dell. This is the first and only episode where the Wally is mentioned. It is an animal that lives on New Thundera. And that's all I have for that. So we do have one more thing to take care of, David. And that is, who is our biggest bungler?
Once again, you have failed.
You are a worthless, bungling idiot.
Bungler.
You bungler.
You bungled the job again! You bungled it! Delightful!
And now, you had the biggest bungler? You said already for the first one, I want to say?
First one's an easy one.
So who do you have?
Okay, the first episode, biggest bungler is Lionel. He never called for the Sword of Omens to get away from the bug. He never used the Sword of Omens to the free...
Ball of cats? No.
To rescue the Thundercats that were in a ball. He never used the Sword of Omens even to shoot at the monster that was engulfing him with the web, the thing. He never even shot the Sword of Omens at all. He never used the Sword of Omens other than to cut and said, I can't keep this up too long. Beetle creature took the Sword of Omens, he should have said, Sword of Omens, come to my hand. The thing would not be able to hold on to the Sword of Omens.
You know what? There you go. I can't even compete with it. That's so true. Because a bug, an insect...
And he had so many opportunities to do that. And he could have used, while he was being dragged by the other thing, he could have used the Sword of Omens to free the other Thundercats, to give him some backup.
Definitely.
So, Lionel, 100%, bungle, 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 bungle. Biggest bungler, hands down.
To just a devil's advocate, I guess that someone could say that he didn't want to hurt the insect wildlife, but we've seen him attack.
Whatever.
We've seen him attack the wildlife before.
Whatever. It's not a unicorn. Whatever.
I totally agree, though, David. But there's my biggest bungler for the second episode. It was Lionel not using the sword in the actual...
That's exactly what I said. The next one was Lionel, so it's a double bungle Lionel bungler.
Wow!
Double Lionel bungle.
Mum-Ra, for the most part, maybe he shouldn't have taken a sleep, a rest, a nap, but I guess he thought that was pretty secure.
He was doing a Maleficent in Sleeping Beauty. For the first time in 16 years, I can rest peacefully.
Oh my god, yes, that's right. I could rest like I've never rested before. But Lionel, you got double bungler.
Now, I want to know what the bunglers really think about what we just said after watching the episodes and listening to this episode, what they think. I'm saying Lionel across the board, double bungle. I don't think we've ever given Lionel a double bungle before.
No, I don't think he's gotten much bungles.
The only bungle he really has is not officially put his relationship with Bengali online.
He needs to change that to...
He's going to leave you one day, you know. Status. He's going to leave you one day and come go for an older man. One day.
Linkso?
I don't know. No, not Linkso.
He's not that old, is he? I think he's just older than them, right?
I mean, I guess he can feel his way.
My god, okay, Sandy.
Make me your braille board. I want you to paint me like your French women.
Click your fingers on my body like I was your own braille. Read my body. Read my body.
Read my body language. I'll do what you like.
ego. We had to get one song in this show, this episode. Bunglers, bunglers. I feel like, oh my God, we haven't mentioned your name. And we have so many of you.
Have we done mail?
We have so much things to catch up on. We will do a mail in more episode.
Shout out to Leah. Shout out to Mitesh. Shout out to Daniel. Shout out to Zach.
Hostess. Bonner, Craig,
and Michael,
Steve,
shout out to
Carissa.
Buddha.
Oh my God, there's so many of you. Alexander, one of our new bunglers. We do have a new bungler too. You remember that?
Alan Grant.
Alan says, brand new bungler here. Loving the pod, boys. I found you about 2 weeks ago, and I'm nearly caught up on the Thundercats episodes. Love your banter. Have you, or are you, going to do a toy episode? Ones you had as kids, Super 7's amazing products, that awesome sword toy from the 80s. Keep up the great work. Much love from Australia. My God, we have so many beautiful Australian bunglers now. And David, I want to say you manifested this. You mentioned Australia continuously in our early Thundercats episodes, I feel like. What an honor for, like, we've had this, like, Leo, I feel like, was one of our first bingers. I mean, she went beyond Thundercats. She binged our whole catalog. But we've had so many. Daniel binged, and now we have Alan binging too. First off, it's an honor. Just thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, so toys. Yes, we've always planned to do episodes with that.
I think we should get Sean involved.
That is one bonus episode. And then there's one with Zach that I've been talking to him that I wanted to do with the three of us talking about, and I've been saying this a few times, the unmade movies of Thundercats as well. So we do have two bonuses that we have planned. So Alan, I will try to get that up sooner. Maybe one of the weeks we could always do, maybe we can swap out a Thundercats and do like an LJN toy episode or something like that. So we will definitely do that for you, Alan. Thank you again to all of our bunglers. This is the last Thundercats for the month. Of course, next month we will have again four new episodes for you, 2 and 2. We're always new every Friday though on Radical Retro Rewind Podcast with normal episodes. We just wrapped up our contest with Freaky Freezies. We hope that you entered into that because it ended today, a matter of fact, and we will be announcing the winner on our Instagram if you follow us over there, which is Radical Retro Rewind Podcast, one word, as well as Thundercats Reviews 1985, one word. And of course, Universal Appeal 2020, all one word for David. And hopefully that beautiful gem doll soon.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to catch up with people that have sadly passed away over the years, David always provides that for people.
Not always. I don't put everybody. I just put people that have been in my life in some way.
So
yes, I am the Grammys
tribute. The
Emmys tribute. They only need me. No, that's not true. But yes, I do. I have gone over my stuff. It is a bit morbid at times. You know, it's, again, we pay tribute. I'm paying tribute. But
it's a tribute. It's a tribute. No, I'm only teasing. But that is on there. So Thundercats fans, bunglers, we will see you next month. Thank you again. And David. Okay, so Thundercats, ho from New Thundera. Ho?
So now you're saying is I'm a ho on this earth, I'm a ho on third earth, and now I'm a ho on New Thundera?
Interplanetary ho-dom.
Hoeing? Well, all I have to say to you is, oh, oh, oh. I speak your name, Luna. Oh, oh, ho, ho, ho. Oh, oh, unbelievable. I'm going into Megathrust. Don't call me a hoe unless I send for you.
Get ready to be boosted. Hang on. We're going into Megathrust.
I've never seen anything like it. This juice is something else. Too bad the fun's over.
Not necessarily. You'll end up is in a deep, dark hole. A hole from which you'll never escape.
Comic Book Club News gives you the comic book news you need to know first thing in the morning every weekday in the form of digestible 3 to 5 minute long podcasts. Comic Book Club News recaps breaking news stories from Marvel, DC Comics, and beyond, Monday through Friday. New episodes drop 6 a.m. ET in the Comic Book Club News feed, so they're ready for you when you're ready for the day. Comic Book Club News. You hear it second or third, possibly fourth.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.